We want to get right underway with our second of the broadcast partners that will be here with us on Prophecy Today today, and that would be David Dolan, longtime journalist in Jerusalem. He comes to these microphones with a Middle East news update. We need to know what's happening truly in the headlines that we see. What are the details? What's the background for all these headlines that we're hearing and reading as it relates to the Middle East? That is a key component in understanding the prophetic scenario found in the Bible. David, the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, made a trip over to Rome, Italy. Purpose was to talk with John Kerry about, I believe, two things: the peace talks between the Israelis and the Palestinians, but also the situation as it relates to Iran and some of the moves being made by the United States. Now, the Prime Minister came out of the meetings very much concerned. He's not satisfied with what he's hearing from the Secretary of State about some of the decisions being made by the United States. This will have ramifications as far as what Israel is going to do, maybe with that preemptive strike, or how they're going to defend themselves, or what the rest of the world may be doing. Are they isolating Israel, or what? What are your thoughts about what the Prime Minister is saying about his latest conversation with John Kerry?
Well, Jimmy, he's not giving us all of the private details of what they shared, but certainly the Israeli media has been highlighting the fact that he has long been saying that the Iranian issue is a far greater one for Israel than the Palestinian talks, which are going nowhere. The Palestinian leader has been in Europe as well, Mahmoud Abbas, trying to secure European support for sanctions against Israel and for all products not made in Israel proper but made in Judea and Samaria, the West Bank, that they be banned from Europe and different things like that that Israel's making. So he says Iran is the big issue. Well, then we had, just after that meeting in Europe between Kerry and Prime Minister Netanyahu, we had this report come out from the United States from the Institute for Science and International Security, which is a very well-respected think tank, and they released a report saying Iran is capable of producing enough weapons-grade uranium to build a nuclear bomb within just 1 month. The earlier estimates were 6 months. President Obama mentioned something about within a year that they would have that capability. Now this very prestigious, well-informed think tank saying just a month it would take Iran to build a nuclear weapon. And this goes along with the scuttlebutt in Israel most of this month in October. A lot of speculation that a Israeli airstrike may be imminent on Iran, that the United States is not going to block it, but is not going to actively support it. But other countries will be in line to stand by Israel, believe it or not. Greece in Europe, which has become a close ally, Cyprus, the Czech Republic, and others that are standing with Israel pretty strongly. And the United States is not expected to do nothing if there is an Israeli strike. But, you know, Israel's basically saying we're able to do this alone, and I'm sure that's the message that John Kerry was given. And with the U.S. policy and, Jimmy, total disarray in the Middle East, it's just collapsing right, left, and center. It's almost as if the Israelis are saying, well, thank you, and, you know, we know what to do, and we'll do it, and we hope you can help us if you can, but we're ready to go it alone.
Well, that is the case as far as the Israelis concerned, but it seems like the United States, even the White House, trying to discourage the United States Senate for siding with the Prime Minister and making certain that those sanctions are kept tight on the Iranians as they continue to have even those discussions in Geneva. And that's what the Prime Minister is saying. Hey, I'm willing for a diplomatic resolution, but we got to keep the sanctions in place, and we got to make sure they do what they say they are going to do. Speaking of an Israeli Air Force strike, there are reports there was one that was aimed toward that area between Lebanon and Syria, and that the Syrians were passing along some weapons of mass destruction or other materials that they could use to fight against the Jewish state of Israel over to Hezbollah. What's the latest on that?
Well, Jimmy, the report came from a Kuwaiti newspaper, supposedly quoting senior Israeli military sources, but a lot of Israeli analysts found that odd. Why would a senior Israeli military leader be speaking to an Arabic newspaper from a country that has no peace with Israel, Kuwait officially still in a state of war with Israel, although obviously nothing active has happened in that front for many, many years. But so many are saying this report, the sources are not accurate and that it did not take place. But Jimmy, we do know that at least three of these Israeli airstrikes have occurred so far this year. Prime Minister Netanyahu warning last year already that if the Assad regime tried to channel its weapons, especially any weapons of mass destruction like chemical weapons, but long-range missiles, etc., to the Hezbollah force in Lebanon, or anyone else for that matter, that Israel would consider that a security breach that they would have to address. And so it has taken place before. Whether or not it did this week, we don't know. But the same newspaper, Jimmy, reported that Chinese-made medium-range missiles are smuggled into Lebanon. It didn't say whether that was from Syria or by sea or by air, and that Israel is considering a major operation to destroy that stockpile of missiles. Of course, that would likely spark off a Hezbollah response and maybe a regional war. Maybe in that context, we would see an Israeli strike on Iran's nuclear program. The whole region, again, a tinderbox, a hair trigger, and it wouldn't take much to set it off. And we had that very intriguing statement from President Shimon Peres this week, visiting an Air Force base south of Tel Aviv, that the Air Force has capabilities that the world does not know of, and that Israel's enemies do not know of. And he was warning that there will be serious consequences for anybody taking on Israel. And he's thinking about the possibility, obviously, all Israeli leaders are, and they're getting ready as best they can for whatever might occur.
Yeah, maybe not a strike within the last week, but it could happen at any moment. And I was very interested myself in what President Shimon Peres said. He's somewhat of a dove, but man, he was speaking like a hawk when he made that statement that Israel's enemies had better be paying attention, because we have some things, capabilities you have no idea of. Well, let's set aside international and regional political and military activities. Let's go local to some of the local elections. They had municipal elections across Israel. In Tel Aviv, that mayor was reelected, and in Jerusalem, the mayor, Barkat, was reelected as well. Interestingly, Avigdor Lieberman, who supposedly is a partner with Benjamin Netanyahu in the Israeli government, came out against the mayor of Jerusalem and his reelection. They tried to work together a deal with Shosh, who was the very hyper-Orthodox political party there in Israel. Talk to me about what happened in the reelection of Barkat and all these things that may be setting the stage for a political firestorm in the future.
Avigdor Lieberman, of course, he's no longer in the cabinet, having been indicted on criminal charges that are still pending. So he's, you know, on the sidelines, but he has worked with Shas before various times for various causes and similar legislational goals. And socially, both Shas, of course, is a very conservative party, being, as you said, an ultra-Orthodox Sephardic party, mostly Jews from North Africa. Morocco, in particular, form the base of that party. The Lieberman's very conservative. He's a hawk, defense hawk, politically very conservative, not a religious man at all, a Russian-born Jew who doesn't practice any sort of faith that I've ever heard of. But they work together sometimes, and they try to derail Barkat. But Barkat is very popular in Jerusalem. He's very accessible, open. He's a very modern sort of guy. He talks business easily because he was a very successful businessman for many years. And he knows high tech. He knows how to speak to young people. He's trusted by some of the religious as well as the secular people because he's tried to keep calm pretty much in town. So he's back in. And I think most people in Jerusalem are glad for it. He's been a relatively stable mayor as compared to the two previous ones that didn't last very long.
One thing I did hear him say, even during the campaigning, was that he would not divide the city of Jerusalem. He agrees it's the eternal, undivided city for the Jewish people, the political capital and the religious capital for the Jewish people. David Dolan with our Middle East news update right here on Prophecy Today. David, we so appreciate your input. Thank you, my good friend. We'll talk again real soon.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.